Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
'94 Sports Radio WIP on a Saturday at the Borgata. Always a fun place. You know, I was going to start this fine radio show out this morning and look back at the Eagles because people are still talking about it, whether it's the Eagles, mostly Wentz and Foles, but I think people have realized what's going to happen there. But then I hear the best of the morning show when I come on, and I'm saying, no, that's not right. No, that's not right. No, that's not right. And that's what I do on Tuesday mornings when I'm on with Angelo. I try to at least guide them in the proper direction. Not that they want to listen to it, but I'll try to do that again since that was just on before we came on, and it has to do with baseball free agents. I do not believe the report, and there's been so much fake news on these baseball free agents about Machado and the offer being 7 years and $175 million. You start somewhere because you don't start at the top when a team throws out an offer, and that might have been the White Sox first offer to give them a starting point to not go that high. But then Al mentions, you know, why shouldn't they get paid? And this is taking so long because they're not getting paid what they believe they want to get paid. So I will straighten that out. And I've said this on the air this week at WIP when I think when I was on with Angelo and maybe the midday show, and then with Joe Giglio when I'm on with him on Tuesday and Thursday evenings, that I don't think Harper's getting $300 million. And that was a number thrown out, again, fed to Bob Nightingale, who's a very good reporter, but he takes what these guys give him. And the agents use these media people. They use them. Now, they might throw them a bone once in a while, but they use them. And Bob Nightingale is being used by Scott Boras when he throws out, well, the Washington Nationals offered $300 million to Bryce Harper, and they turned it down. They never offered $300 million. And what is the problem for these guys? It's not the players. It's the agents. That's what's created this problem. And I saw a story where the Cubs had their winter stuff, as the Phillies do, their caravans or whatever. And Chris Bryant of the Cubs is upset about these guys not getting the money that they're worth. Well, what are they worth? And despite the resistance by, when I heard Al Morgani, the notion of stupid money, it is stupid money. Well, it is. Players are only worth what the team wants to pay them. What are they worth? Who determines what they're worth? Are they the only side that is the agent the only one that determines what they're worth? No, the teams determine what they're worth. And here's where they're running into problems, and they don't like it. They love the analytics part when they talk about their numbers and how good they are as players. But they don't like the analytics when it comes to using that to determine how much money they are getting or how much money they should be paid, how much money they are offered. And that's what's coming into play here. There's no question that analytics is determining what a player's worth is. And it's not the numbers that the agents want to throw out, and it's not the number that Scott Boras, the agent for Bryce Harper, threw out. And to Bob Nightingale, he didn't throw it out. He gave it to Bob Nightingale, and Bob Nightingale wrote it that he was offered $300 million by the Nationals. So Scott Boras was hoping that was a starting point. Well, nobody bit. And if somebody asked, well, why don't the Nationals deny that? Well, you don't want to piss off the agent because they still wanted to negotiate with Bryce Harper to be on the Washington Nationals. So you're not going to screw up the agents. But the reason they remain unsigned is because of the agents. It's not the teams. If the teams aren't offering more and the teams don't know what the others are offering, but they use the same analytics to come up with the numbers of what they're worth. Chris Bryant says it's something that's going to have to change. I know a lot of the other players are pretty upset, and this is basically about players that aren't signing. Well, Chris Bryant's agent is Scott Boras. To let Chris Bryant know that it's his agent that's screwing it up. It's not the teams that are screwing it up. And if you get $225 or $250 million, it's more money that you'll need in the next two or three lifetimes. It's more than your grandchildren's grandchildren can use. So, I mean, these guys, they're baseball players, and they're very talented. They're extremely talented. But why are they the ones that determine what they're worth? When you go for a job, and whoever it is offers you X amount of dollars, and that's what they believe you're worth. Now, the first offer is usually low, and then you build up and you work somewhere in between. But Scott Boras wanted to start at $300 million, and the teams don't want to start at $300 million. They're not going there. So you're paid what they think you're worth. And if you don't like it, go work another job. This is what I don't understand. And Chris Bryant and Evan Longoria, who's now with the San Francisco Giants, he has a line, fans should want the best players and product on the field for their team. Sure. But in the end, it's the fans that pay for those players. Baseball tickets are still the lowest priced ticket of all the sports. However, they have 81 games and not 41, or in the case of football, not 8 regular season and 2 preseason and any playoffs that you may be in. So the money is dictated by what the owners want to pay and then how much they can charge the fan for a ticket. What does Evan Longoria say? We're less than a month away from the start of spring training, and once again, some of the game's biggest stars remain unsigned. Such a shame. This is on its Instagram. It seems every day now someone is making up a new analytical tool to devalue players, especially the agents. As fans, why should value for your team even be a consideration? Well, wait a minute. It's not your money. It's money that players have worked their whole lives to get to that level and be deserving of bottom line, fans should want the best players and product on the field for their team. And as players, we need to stand strong for what we believe we are worth and continue to fight for the rights we have fought for time and time again. Well, you got your right to be a free agent. And as free agents, the teams have their right to pay you what they think you are worth. And if they don't think you're worth what your agent thinks you're worth, then that's their. They are the ones that are paying the money. And ultimately, when you say the fans shouldn't worry about what they're getting paid, yes, they should. Because when does it stop? If you're going to get $250 million, and in the end, that's what Bryce Harper's probably going to get, somewhere $250 to $275, I think, based on what I've been told. What's wrong with that? That's what they think you're worth. And why you as players, or it's your agents that poison your minds, think you're worth more, you fought for the right to be a free agent. Now you have some teams that want to spend that money and some teams that don't. Chris Bryant of the Cubs said the Cubs, he doesn't believe, are in the mix because they have stars. And their payroll's already above $200 million. So they are paying players. And if you play one player that kind of money, then the other players are going to suffer. Well, not suffer. They're not going to suffer. But when you get paid millions of dollars, you're not suffering. And the other players are going to feel that when they go out and sign. Every year there's big free agents that come out there. That's less money for teams to spend every year on a payroll that they try to keep sensible. Baseball doesn't have a salary cap, the only sport, but they have a luxury tax, which really in the end is not that bad if they go over it. So they will pay it, but now they're paying based on what their numbers say. And the players should stop bitching about it. Scott Boras is a thief with the money he's asking from teams. I remember when the Phillies signed Jake Arrieta last year and his comment, and I was there at the news conference in Clearwater at spring training, when he says teams don't really want to compete anymore, and that's why he had to settle for 3 years and $75 million. Had to settle for that. Actually, as it turns out, he was overpaid based on what he delivered to the Phillies this last season. They had to settle for that because as Scott Boras, these are his words, teams don't want to compete anymore. Absolutely. There's many teams that still want to compete. And bless the Tampa Bay Rays for competing on a payroll that is less. They won 90 or 90-some games without paying crazy, crazy salaries. Sure, they want to compete. Just because you pay a player a lot of money doesn't mean you're going to win. If the Phillies sign both Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, which I was told was not out of the question if they will sign for their numbers, which would take, and I've said this all week, and Tom Verducci put it out there, that if they sign both, if they don't sign both, then Mike Trout's in play. Well, Mike Trout would be in play. They didn't sign both anyway. But if they sign both, Mike Trout's probably out of play. I was told he is out of play. You can only spend so much. And it's still all stupid money. What players get paid is absolutely ridiculous in the world we live in. When the average wage earner is making, what, $30,000 to $40,000 a year, and $30,000 to $40,000 is less than what these players get paid for each game. So these players got to face reality. It's a lot of money. And if the teams don't want to pay more, you worked your whole life to become a free agent, to get the best offer, and you're whining and bitching about a couple of $100 million? It's just, you're complaining about the average player. You take away the bottom five on each team, or the bottom 5%, the average player is probably making $10 to $15 million. Are they just out of their friggin' minds? They have absolutely lost touch with reality of yourselves, me, the real world. Who are they that, we worked our lives to get paid what you're worth. You're only worth what they will pay you. And they're paying you hundreds of millions of dollars, so shut the bleep up. Oh, my gosh, it drives me crazy with these guys. And it's the agents that have slowed this down. And Remember, Scott Boras waited till the middle of spring training last year, signed Jake Arrieta. I can't believe it's going to go on this long. But these two guys and these two agents, two different agents, are holding it up for other players that are still out on the market that teams are waiting on until these guys sign. So the players should be mad at these agents and these players, and Chris Bryant has Scott Boras as an agent. So be mad at the agent if you feel bad for the players because he's holding up everything else. This is not going to happen overnight, and we're still in January, and it wouldn't shock me that this goes on to February. What's Scott Boras waiting for? They're not going to come up with the money that he wants. Not that they should get, but he wants. So we'll talk about that, and I see there's some people that already want to talk about it. Obviously, we'll talk about the Eagles, and I want to straighten people out on, you know, when they start talking about trades for Nick Foles, I'm going to kind of lay it all out for you so you understand it better. It's just the games this weekend, we'll have Mark Lawrence on at 9:40. Please, no Belichick. And Angelo just wants to get people to scream, so he's pulling for the Patriots. You got to hate the Patriots. And they're still cheating. They're still cheating. And Andy Reid, I'm going to straighten out the misnomer about time management. And then Charles Barkley said the 76ers organization is stupid. We'll talk about all that. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, if you're on the AT&T service that I've been using for a long time, it's #9494. And if you're on Verizon, it's #9494. I'm Howard Eskin. We're at the Borgata, where you can bet all these games at the Borgata Race and Sportsbook. You can do that. People are doing it. I saw them starting to bet the games. They're betting games every day. WIP Sports Time here at the Borgata. And on the East Coast is 8:17. For WIP, and just to clarify, after hearing the update from Ed Benkin, Sixers play this afternoon. Now, they play at the center. Is that at the Kimmel Center, or is that at the Wells Fargo Center? Because when you say center, I don't know whether I should go to the Kimmel Center or I should go to the Wells Fargo Center. I believe where the Sixers play is called the Wells Fargo Center, and the Kimmel Center is called the Kimmel Center. And there's probably some other centers. Maybe there's a recreational center they might be playing at. So I don't know. I put center in my Google Maps, and it came up with a whole bunch of things, and I'm not sure which one to go to. So I just wanted to clarify that the Sixers are playing at the Wells Fargo Center. So you don't get confused when you go, if you're going to watch the Sixers in Oklahoma this afternoon. All right, let's go to Rob. You're on WIP.
The national media is convinced that the Phillies are trying very hard to sign Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, but it looks like they're not going to get anything close to a 10-year contract.
No, I don't think so. Based on what I've told, nobody's offered 10 years guaranteed. And that's what is probably – so Scott Boras doesn't want to look like a jerk. Remember last year he asked for $200 million for Jake Arrieta, and he ended up with 75.
Yeah.
You can ask for what you want to ask for, but I don't believe, from what I've been told.
And it hasn't stopped Klentak from signing people. He signed a shortstop, a right fielder, and a closer.
Well, he traded for a shortstop.
Okay, well, he still got,
but he traded for him. Yeah, he traded for him. And McCutchen, they're going to go after some other players. And I don't know how many more they're going to go after. And I think they're still waiting.
Well, I think they need to package Cesar Hernandez and Odubel Herrera for Madison Baumgartner.
Well, you know, he's only got 1 year left. And I'm not, Baumgartner sounds great. But he's had some injuries, so I'm a little worried about him.
But if
you could get Baumgartner for those two guys, yes, I would trade him. But I don't know that San Francisco would do that.
They probably have to throw a prospect in, too.
Yeah, well, whatever. Here's what I believe. From what I, again, and
who's
I...
Who's telling you this, Howard?
No, I can't tell you. Well, obviously, you can't tell it. You can't give up a source. From what I'm told, it is more likely the Phillies will not get a starter before the season, but they will if they feel they need one at the trade deadline. And you know what? That's not a bad idea, actually.
That's not a bad plan, but yeah. I'd still like to see Madison Baumgartner myself.
Yeah, well, you might still be able to get him at the trade deadline.
I don't think so. I think the Brewers are going to go after him pretty hard.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But there'll be there's other pitchers out there. So, all right. Hey, Rob.
Thanks, Howard.
I appreciate it. Let's go to Mike. You're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. Always a pleasure.
I understand that.
You're the best. I've been listening to you since DB, and that's when I was a little kid, man. It's always absolutely blast every time I call you.
It's good. All right, so what's up?
I have to say, Howard, you know, I agree with Rob about Baumgartner. A lot of experts predict Baumgartner to have a bounce-back year and velocity and other things, so you could get him for cheaper value, you know, than you probably would normally.
I don't know that the Giants are going to give him up for cheaper value.
Well, cheaper than it would save off coming off a year like he, you know, won the series or something.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have traded him if he was coming off that kind of year.
Yeah. So,
you got to think about everything.
I know. And you don't see the Phillies signing Keuchel then, huh?
Not before the season. I think
I'm tired of
again.
This
is the way they're thinking, and this is what I've been told. More likely. That they'll, if they feel they need some pitching, remember they have two in the rotation. They have Nola and Arrieta.
Right.
And then they've got some young pitchers, whether it's, who is it, Eichhoff, who didn't even pitch last year.
No, Eichhoff was hurt.
Pivetta and Velasquez. Now, I don't trust all three of them, but you'll have time to figure it out because you can still make a run in the second half of the season if you make a trade at the deadline.
Maybe Santos too, Howard, because I mean, Velasquez should be in the bullpen. We've seen what he can do.
Whatever. I think their thinking is not flawed, and I think their thinking is actually good to wait until the trade deadline.
And it's such nonsense, Howard, when you hear this mystery team. That is such garbage, you know?
Well, hey, listen, it doesn't even matter to me anymore. It comes down to where he's going to get the most money. And I've also been told that many teams believe that the Yankees are waiting in the weeds.
Yep.
When people said they're out of it, they're not out of it. So who knows what's going to happen there?
Harper. They want Machado, but they keep signing infielders. Where are they going to? You know, eventually, you know, you sign.
Yeah, but they can always move people. They're just backing themselves up.
No. I mean, if the Phillies are playing it smart, aren't they? I mean, not. Going, they make it. They're just like, you know, you're waiting for the. They're not going to jump into anything, and I mean, there's no former offer made the Harper yet or no.
Well, I don't know what you call former. They've talked parameters, and you don't make that offer until the team's ready to sit down and talk with you. Their meeting was not mostly about money. It was mostly about trying to convince Harper why it would be good to play in Philadelphia. And I love Gabe Kapler. Gabe Kapler said they hit it off. Well, I'm glad. Gabe Kapler's a nice guy. I would agree
nice
with that.
Guy.
Okay.
Yeah,
they hit it
guy.
Off. Great. They hit it off. I mean,
they
what does that
about,
mean?
They were talking about, like,
okay, you wanted to talk about the Eagles, too, right? You wanted to talk about the Eagles?
Yeah, I do.
Quick.
You know, can you straighten out these people about Nick Foles? I mean, you can't.
I will do so. And I will do so because you asked me. I will do so right now. All right, here's the situation. And again, the way I understand it, and I've talked to multiple people to try to understand this. We all know the Eagles can pick up a $20 million option. And we all know that Nick Foles can buy out his option at $2 million, so it means nothing. And then he's a free agent because his agent, who is a sharp guy and has handled quarterbacks before, knows there will be multiple 20-plus million-dollar contract offers out there for multiple years. So the thinking was the Eagles could then franchise him, which I'm pretty sure they can. However, why would they do that? And here's the rub here. The Eagles are going to get most likely a third-round compensatory pick, not in this draft, but the next draft. So they're going to get a third-round pick. why would a team give up better than a third-round pick knowing that the Eagles can't keep Foles at what the franchise tag would on their payroll and then be able to fill the team out with players they need to keep them on the level that they're at? You can't pay $25 million to a backup quarterback. And that nonsense, and I think Joe DeCamera's kind of weaseled his way out of the thinking that was just absolutely ridiculous to try to get you all excited to pay a backup $25 million. Can't do it. All right. So I don't even know if they would franchise him, and here's why. The team says, well, we're not giving up a second-round pick for him because you're going to have to let him go anyway. And Nick Foles is not going to sign. Remember, he doesn't have to sign that franchise tag. He's not going to sign the franchise tag because he knows he's going to get this as the perfect time for him to get a contract offer of multiple years at $20-plus million. And here's the biggest thing. The money's not the biggest thing to Nick Foles. He's that kind of guy. The biggest thing is to play with a coach that he trusts, with an offense that is suited to him, and that's where he will go. So that is the biggest thing. So if the Eagles franchise him and Nick doesn't sign it, and they have to, I think, hold, when they franchise him, they have to be careful to hold that money and not go over the cap, and thus they can't sign other players that they probably need to sign. And then if you rescind the franchise tag, my understanding is you lose the compensation. Then you would get nothing for Nick Foles on a compensatory pick. And for people to say, well, they should trade him for this and teams should give up number one, Nick Foles, remember, can always opt out of the contract. So what's the trade mean? And they're not going to give you that. And Nick and his agent, or is really his agent, are not going to allow that to happen because they want to sign a multi-year deal. And if you're not going to get better than a third-round pick, which is, would be unlikely because of the situation Nick's in, and the reason they're in that situation, because Nick Foles had other offers, and he decided he wanted to play with the Eagles. And it was a great thing that he did. So the Eagles took advantage of that. Now he's taking advantage of the deal that was set up, which was really, really, really good by his agent and good by the Eagles, too. They know he can go somewhere else. So it's unlikely that you can do anything better. I don't think any team's going to give you a second-round pick because that has to be a team that he wants to go to. Now, the other part of this, I believe the Eagles at some point, and this is just my opinion, are going to have to tell the agent, hey, listen, you can go, and they can give him permission to go out and find other teams that would like to sign Nick Foles, and we'll see if we can get something from that team. But remember, it has to be better than a third-round pick. And the team knowing that Nick can be a free agent, they pick up his option, Nick can opt out, and the franchise tag is really dangerous. And if you trade him for anything less than a third-round pick, or trade him for anything less that won't get you or more than a third-round pick, then it's not going to work. Very, very, very difficult to trade him. That's really, it's just pie-in-the-sky type thinking. All right, let's go where we're going to. Chris in Dover, Delaware. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, King. Long time, first time.
Nice to have you on there, Chris, first time.
Pleasure. Hey, a couple things, if I may. First thing is, and I know you're going to talk about it, I can't wait to hear your feedback on the Charles Barkley comment.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm going to get that comment he made. It's in our system. I'll get Phil to get that and play the comment. And he's absolutely right. But go ahead. I'm going to deal with that. And the 76ers are stupid.
100% King, I agree with you. The way they've gone over this, and I know you've talked about it over the last couple of years, I agree with it.
With
I
what?
The Sixers have run things, the way they discussed and revealed the injury issues with players.
Well, they do that. It's a public service. You have to do that, pretty much.
but I agree with him 1,000%. Who do you? My main thing is baseball. My next thing, though, if you comment on it also, is who do you like this weekend? I'd like to hear your feedback on the games. And last but not least, these salaries. I hope Harper and Machado, neither guy, the Phillies, I hope neither one of them get signed by the Phillies, to be totally honest with you.
Well, here's what could happen. They could sign both, which I would think may be unlikely. They could sign one, or they could sign neither. All those, because the agents control all this. I still think the Nationals are in play for Harper, even though they seem to be, according to the public or the fake news reports out there, seem to be out of it. I still think the Nationals are in play here.
Howard, I'm glad the owners seem like, to me, I don't know how you feel about it, over the last year or two, they're still giving out the money, but they're kind of putting a line in the sand in regards to how much. And I'm glad. And a guy like Machado with the comments he made, and Harper batted .230 last year. What did he bring the Nationals in the 5 years, 6 years he was with them?
Well, they didn't win, but I'll say this. Machado, and thanks for the call, Machado is better in terms of what he would do for the Phillies, because he's really a good defensive third baseman. Franco is so overrated. He's got no range. Franco's not a good third baseman. The Phillies' defense was awful. So Machado would help them. Offensively, he's similar to Harper, very similar. They're almost very similar, in some cases better. And he's a better defensive player. So it would help the Phillies, especially for their defense. Where Harper is not a bad outfielder, but he's an average defensive outfielder. But Machado would help them more. And that's why they'd rather have Machado, but they'd like to have either one of them. And they do like Harper, and they would love to have Harper, but he hit .300, I think, in the second half. But again, it's he's an addition. Now, you can't get he's not worth $300 million, based on what I understand the Phillies are prepared to offer. It's not $300 million, and there may be some option years which wouldn't guarantee that money. But Boris would try to work it out to save face, to make it look like it was a $300 million contract, because it's not a nobody's offered $300 million. Nobody. But everything's in play. It's really, and it's not going to happen quickly. These agents make this very, very, very difficult. Ron, you're on WIP.
Howard, good morning.
Good morning.
Howard, listen, I'm really, I'm sitting here listening to you this morning, and you know what? You're the only one, and I listen to the radio all day, okay? You're the only one that has come up and stood up and said what these contracts, what they're doing. It's our money. You know what I mean?
It's the players, and I heard Al on the Best Of on the morning show this week. He said, what's the difference how much you're paying? Well, there is a difference. There is a difference, because in the end, that's why prices have gone up on tickets.
I'm telling you, it just drives me nuts when I hear it from so-called knowledgeable sports people, people on the radio, and even people out in everyday walks of life, and especially this is what the millenniums are growing up with. So this is nuts.
I hate when those millenniums grow up like that.
Well, I'm telling you, push a button, it's done. You know what I mean? And that's how.
And even the millennials too.
Well, the thing of it is that these contracts are, and I think you'll agree, the contracts are destroying all of sports, and especially baseball.
They're not helping. The league that it's hurt the worst is the NBA, because all those contracts are guaranteed. The players run the league, and the NBA is a disgrace and a joke and a broken product with the way the players run the league. Yeah,
I have a comment about that, particularly the 76ers, and it's real simple. I am really getting sick, and I'm tired already with this Embiid and Brown thing. You know what I mean? And the Simmons thing. And the thing I think it is that the Sixers haven't been relevant for so many years that this is the norm in basketball, how the players basically run the show.
They absolutely run the
show. We don't know that. We don't know that because we haven't had Iverson in forever. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's just annoying to watch Embiid and Simmons and these guys run the show.
Well, the players, the problem is the player, and I'll talk more about it, and thanks for the call, Ron. The players do run the show. And when we come back, I'm going to play the comment that Charles Barkley made, and he's absolutely right, absolutely right. And I'll tell you what I think the players do run the show. And it's a problem, and it's going to continue to be a problem. And I'll deal with that. And then we'll talk more about the Eagles and the game this weekend. And Alshon Jeffrey. I know Angelo tried to get people to rip him. Or he prefaced it by saying, why don't they rip him? And I'm going to talk about why they didn't and why they shouldn't. And, hey, listen, he dropped a pass. But we'll talk more about it. But that's not who he is. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, pound 9494 on that service that I'm using, AT&T, which I'm sure many, many of you are using, and pound 9494 on Verizon. WIP Sports Time here at the Borgata is 840. Sports Radio, 94. WIP, before I get back to the phones here at the Borgata, and one of the things I wanted to ask people, this season for the Eagles turned out to be really, really exciting. And it's hard to put, I was excited with the season to expect a team to go back to the Super Bowl. Doesn't happen a lot. Happens very rarely. But they're still the Super Bowl champions for at least another couple of weeks. Did you consider this season a success? I know what my opinion is. Did you consider this Eagles season a success? And what do you think they have to do to maintain the level of play that they had at the end of the season? All right, before we get to those callers, and we welcome your opinions on that, obviously, talk about the 76ers. And Charles Barkley made a comment at halftime the other night about the Sixers playing Joel Embiid with a bad back. Here, I want you to listen to this comment, and I'll tell you what I think the problem is. Go ahead. That's correct. That's the bottom line. They did sit him out. They sat him out. Actually, was it a couple of years? I don't even remember anymore. There's so many. Every first round pick they've had since they started that stupid process, every first round pick they've had, every one on their first round pick has been injured. Every one of them. It must be the zoologist. I have no idea what it is. But every one of them. The guy they took last year, Zaire Smith, had surgery and then got an infection. This is mind-boggling. I don't understand it. So they're really cautious with those players. But every one of the players. Ben Simmons could have played at the end of the first year, but he didn't, and this is where the players run the league. He didn't want to play because then he couldn't have been considered a rookie the next year and get his $5 million bonus from Nike by being named the Rookie of the Year, which, by the way, I still believe Donovan Mitchell was the Rookie of the Year because Ben Simmons was in his second year for it's one of many reasons. But whatever the case, that's past history. But so they're so cautious with all these players, yet they're not cautious, and Charles is right, with their franchise player. in a regular season game. And Indiana, I have now realized that Indiana is not a player in the Eastern Conference as far as a contender. They're 9-9 against teams with plus 500 records. 9-9, that's not a player. They're not going to be part of a run for the Eastern Conference title. They just are just not good enough. So you're playing your franchise player who's got a sore back. They didn't play him with an ingrown toenail at times. But now they're playing him. And he is their best player. He is a franchise player. He's a guy that wants to play and play hard. But that's the problem. He wants to play. So the head coach is being run by the players. I always have to say I like Brett Brown, but there's criticisms that have to be made. You know, you don't put all the doctors said it's all right. Joel Embiid said it was all right. I mean, with the caution that they've had, with the things that they've done with their players, and think about the things that they have done with their players in terms of holding them out and not playing them. And they're going to play the guy in a midway through the season in a regular season game with a bad back. It's mind-boggling why they would do that. It makes no sense. It makes no sense with the way they've done things. It makes no sense with the way they're doing things. I don't get it. I don't get it. But, well, I do get it. And the problem, and this is the problem is the players make the decisions. And the players make decisions on what they want to do on the floor. The players make the decisions on when they want to play and when they don't want to play. And you can't tell a player to play who doesn't want to play. But you can tell a player not to play when he wants to play if he's hurt. I don't know if they're the stupidest organization, but they're up there to allow that to happen because Joel Embiid wanted to play. I just don't get it. Injury prone, you have to worry how long this guy's going to have a career. And for one game to play him when he's got a sore back, it's not the playoffs. If it's the playoffs, I totally understand it. It's the regular season. Charles Barkley he's not right all the time. But give him credit for stepping out and saying it. I don't think any of us would say it's the stupidest decision or a stupidest decision by an organization or it's stupid as an organization. Whatever he said, he's 100% correct in having that opinion. And there's no way the Sixers can justify that by saying, well, the doctor said it was all right. You've been so cautious. What's changed? You don't want to be cautious anymore? What the hell has changed? What has changed? And without him, they are not a nothing. Without Joel Embiid, they are nothing. You know, when you look, and this goes back, Ben Simmons can't carry him. You know, Joel Embiid didn't play the last 16 games. Well, they had such an easy schedule. Didn't matter whether he played or not. And people gave Ben Simmons credit for carrying him. Ben Simmons is not a player that can carry a team. Will never carry a team. Because he can't score against teams that will play defense. He won't score. You know, here's the... When you talk about great point guards, and Ben Simmons isn't a great point guard, he's a very athletic player who's a very good player, not a great player. I'll give him he's a very good player. Kyrie Irving the other night had 27 points and 18 assists. And Russell Westbrook does that a lot, too. When you can have a game where you score those kind of points and have those kind of assists, you are really great. And Ben Simmons can't do that. He can't be that scorer. He's going to have assists, but he's going to have a lot of turnovers because he passes the ball too much because he's afraid to shoot. And that still remains a problem. Still remains a problem. All right. If you have any opinions about that, the Sixers are not a championship caliber team. They're a playoff team, but I trust the branding. I trust Elden Brand that he will really make a serious attempt at trying to get this team to be better with a trade by the deadline, which I believe is February 7th. They'll be better, but they, just because one night they have good shooting from the outside, I don't trust Muscala. J.J. Redick is a really good player, but he sometimes can be inconsistent and erratic, his shooting, but he's a really good player. Doesn't play a lot of defense, but he's a really good player. And defense, again, is what they need to do. So, well, we can talk about that. Talk about your expectations of the Eagles. Foles-Wentz, we've worn that out on WIP. Just so you know, Carson Wentz will be your quarterback. In my understanding, talking to multiple doctors, it's not an injury that you expect would reoccur. All right, so we could talk about that. And the free agent situation, which is a joke now in baseball. It's become a joke, all those things. We have some open lines. I saw a caller that was on the line. I didn't get to him in time. From Vermont. That's interesting that we got a caller from Vermont. I want to see how cold it is up there. And I know about all the snow they're going to get up there. We're not going to get it in Philadelphia, even though the weather people on the local stations try to scare the living daylights out of you. It's the western part of the state. It's north of Philadelphia, but it's not Philadelphia. And I don't notice many places in South Jersey. And with the rain coming, because it's going to get warmer, it's going to melt it down. But I'll give you my weather forecast, which mine will be honest and not be scaring the living daylights out of you. 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494 on your cell phones, pound 9494 on the AT&T service that many of you, I'm sure, are using, and pound 9494 on Verizon. Have some open lines. WIP Sports Time here at the Borgata is 857. 94, WIP. Stone's coming to the rink in, I believe it's June. Thinking about Mick Jagger, 70-some years old. All those guys are 70-some years old. And those are the acts that really, really get the big crowds. There's some acts nowadays that do, but there is history. I was always Beatles more than Stones, but Stones certainly are legendary in what they have done. All right, there are portions of the program where you got to lower your IQ and the standards of IQ, and this would be one of those times when that dope Adrian's on the air. What's happening, genius?
Hey, Hal, with Texas, I don't know what you got against Ben Simmons, but you, I heard you say Kyrie Irving had 27 and 18.
Yeah.
So when Ben Simmons put up numbers like that.
Well, I tell you what, I challenge you to give me one game that he put up numbers like that. Give me one game.
Are you kidding me? He had 29, 14, and 11.
14. He had one game. I don't care about the rebounds because they worry about – the reason he gets rebounds is because not many guards crash the boards. But when they box out Joel Embiid, Simmons will crash the boards. The triple-doubles are nothing. He had 29. He had 29 one time in his life. One time in his life in the pros. One time in his life.
But you got to understand the assist that he had, that he third in assist in the whole league. And you didn't mention things.
Where is he in turnovers there, genius?
Hold on, wait, hold up. You mentioned that.
No, don't hold on. I asked you where he is in turnovers.
He's not first. He's not number one.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the top 10.
But he's not number one, and I can tell you that. Hold on, let me just get this out.
Go ahead.
You mentioned 27 and 18, but you didn't mention that six turnovers that Kyrie Irving had last night. So you didn't mention them six turnovers.
No, it was a couple of games ago. He had eight. Well, wait a minute. Did you mention the six turnovers that Ben Simmons had the other night against Indiana? Did you mention those?
No.
With less assists? The ratio for Kyrie Irving, 18 and 6, is good.
Let me say this to you, and don't give me Kyrie Irving. The Celtics will not win with Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving will not win without LeBron James. Let's be for real about it. Come on.
I'm not so sure of that.
Come on, you sure of that? Kyrie Irving, before LeBron James came to Cleveland, they couldn't even make the playoffs with Kyrie Irving. So don't give me no Kyrie Irving crap. Okay.
Wait. You're going to tell me that the Celtics can't make the playoffs?
I didn't say playoffs. I said what? Can you hear me? Are you hard of hearing? Do you still got wet in your
and
hair?
So what did you say?
I said they can't win with Kyrie Irving. The Celtics will not win a championship with Kyrie Irving.
I think they can. Well, nobody right now is going to beat Golden State. It appears that they're back on their game. So that's a problem with the NBA.
Hold on, let me ask you this, too.
But they can get the two best teams in the East are Toronto and Boston. Those are the two best teams.
All right, so let me just – record-wise, that's not the two best teams. Boston
they're the two. They will be the two best teams at the end of the year.
So let me just say this to you. So, I mean, are you leaving early today to go to the game tomorrow? Because you know you're the big BK. Yeah, I mean, you know you're the big butt kisser. I mean, you know Andy Reid, your boy, is playing. Then you had to have the nerve to mention that numbskull Charles Barkley. That's the worst thing the Sixers ever did. Charles Barkley. The worst thing they ever did was that man Charles Barkley try to win around him. You couldn't win with Charles.
Charles Barkley is one of the 50 greatest players in the NBA.
How many rings?
Very few players had 20,000 points. 20,000 points and 10,000 rebounds. Very few players had that.
Hey, listen, Ben Simmons on his way to do the same exact thing.
He will not get 20,000 points.
I bet he gets 10,000 rebounds.
Well, because they're blocking out Embiid. It won't be hard to get 10,000 rebounds.
Come on, use a butt kisser. How would you use the number one butt kisser? Hey, look, where your phone when you're doing the camera?
Hey, Adrian, go and root for your Giants again next year as they lose with Eli Manning.
Wait a minute, is the Eagles playing again? Is they playing? Because Eli got two Super Bowl rings. How many rings the Eagles got?
Dust them off. It wasn't because of him. It was not because of him, you dope. Let me get into this Andy Reid time management thing, which people kill him about. And they go back to the Super Bowl against New England when it took a lot of time to score a touchdown late in the game. And people know this, but they ignore this. They know it now. And I'll go back through the steps. Donovan McNabb, as really good a quarterback as he was, had trouble remembering two plays. That was the problem. Had trouble remembering what the plays were with the verbiage. Remember, he wouldn't wear a wristband. I guess he didn't want people to think he wasn't smart enough, so he wouldn't wear a wristband. Tom Brady wears a wristband. Everybody wears a wristband. So when they call in the play, you know what the play is with the terminology, if you have to check it. He couldn't remember two plays, and I didn't know this at the time. But I remember a game with Washington. This is where I started to check and find out that it was a problem. He's playing with Washington. It was a regular season game. And Mike Shanahan, the head coach of the Redskins at that time, right before a two-minute drive, changed quarterbacks, went from Donovan McNabb to Rex Grossman. Rex Grossman? He went to Rex Grossman for the two-minute drive. And then somebody asked Mike Shanahan, obviously, why did you do that? He said he runs the two-minute drive better than Donovan McNabb. I'm saying, what's the problem here? Then I started to check, you know, go back to people. Not only did I find out he couldn't remember two plays many times, so you had to keep on giving him the play rather than him going up to the line of scrimmage and running the play. You had to call the play in again. In the huddle, there were players in the huddle that told me when the play came in and Donovan explained the verbiage but didn't know the play, there were players in the huddle that had to tell him what that play was. Now, don't you think that slows it down? And listen, there are times for every coach where you do things, you say, well, why did he do that? And in the end, when you look back, you say, well, that wasn't the right decision, and you didn't use the clock the right way. People don't know if players were not in the proper alignment. I remember, what was it, L.J. Smith, the tight end, would line up incorrectly more than he should have, too many times. And you had it, then you had to reset him, and the play clock ran down. It wasn't because he couldn't get the play in. It wasn't because of a lot of those things. He's made mistakes, but just to go by, as long as Donovan McNabb was your quarterback, there were other issues with time management, and one of those was your quarterback. But people still go with the narrative, oh, Andy's terrible with time management. Andy Reid will win this game on Sunday. Will win the game, and the Chiefs will go to the Super Bowl. All right? Dan, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how you doing?
Never had a bad day in my life.
It's an honor to talk to you, man. I'll be honest, you scare the hell out of me.
Why is that? I'm a nice guy.
You don't want to be called by a dope by somebody you admire, so hopefully I won't be called a dope by the end of the
That's
call.
Right. Sometimes it's a badge of honor.
Yeah, well, if it's with Adrian, it sure as hell is.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
All right, so I wanted to make a comparison. I know it's not identical, but the people who want Foles to start want him to start because he's a Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl MVP, had multiple playoff runs, and, you know, has good chemistry with the players and the fan base. And when you're looking around, Joe Flacco did the same thing. Nobody ever in the right mind would pick Joe Flacco over Carson Wentz. And I feel like that's kind of similar with the Foles logic. I feel like Foles is a little bit better than Flacco is. But I just feel like it's just so asinine just not to know to go with Carson. I understand Nick has been clutch. But when you're talking about talent, Carson's clearly the more talented player. And I don't see him as injury prone. I really don't. I mean, he had the ACL. And I honestly think if they won that Cowboys game, I think he might have started the rest of the season. I don't know. You might know more than I do.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when they had done, my understanding was there were multiple MRIs taken between the first time his back came up on the injury report in October, and then after a couple of weeks it didn't because he didn't feel bad. And they had examined him, and he's gotten MRIs. I mean, he's a franchise player. You don't think that they would examine him just to check. So,
yeah, of course.
He felt pain. He felt pain after the Dallas game. That's when they did it again. But I don't know. I'm not sure that he would have played. He would
have
wanted to play.
Hypothetically speaking, let's say he doesn't play. A fracture in the back, when it heals, it's going to heal stronger because it's bone. And I feel like he's shown enough. I know he wasn't as mobile, but he's shown enough coming back from the ACL.
Here's what you have to understand. You know, and I'll bring up the Joe Flacco thing that you did. Everybody loves the backup quarterback until he's the starter. And Nick Foles was really never the starter because he was still considered the backup quarterback, although next year he will be a starter in the NFL, and he should be. He did a great job.
Foles doesn't have, and I have nothing against, I have a lot of admiration for Foles, but he's never had a full 16-game season where Carson Wentz in his first season played a full 16-game season.
Yeah, and that's part of it too, but the Flacco situation, these people in Baltimore, and I think John Harbaugh, who I think is a terrific coach, made a huge mistake by starting when they knew that Flacco was better, starting Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson can't play quarterback. He's not a quarterback. And that's one of the reasons they lost. He's not a quarterback. And that's a disgrace that Joe Flacco didn't play. So you got to understand some of the issues.
You agree on the premise, though, 10 times out of 10, you're going to pick Wentz over Flacco, yes, obviously. Absolutely. But also Foles. I mean, and that's nothing against the Foles. That's just doing what's best for the team.
What he has done in Philadelphia for the Eagles will always be legendary. He will be legend in Philadelphia because he won the first Super Bowl. He got him into the playoffs the next year. He will always be considered legendary.
But
Carson Wentz is the best, better quarterback.
He's the only guy that won us the Super Bowl. And I understand he is the only guy that won us the Super Bowl. That does not make him the better quarterback, though. You know what I mean?
No,
they can't separate themselves from the Super Bowl love of him and what is best for the team. And
the fans did love, remember this, Dan, the fans did love Carson Wentz. Then he got hurt, then Nick Foles led him to the Super Bowl, and then they loved Foles. Remember, Carson Wentz still should have been the MVP last year.
As Foles played better, somehow Wentz got worse. And I don't, like, not really, but in the some fans.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Happened. You know, in the minds of people, he got worse. Yeah, he didn't have a great year. He was okay, but he didn't have a great year.
I just want to say real quick before you cut me off, I really do appreciate you taking my time in, and you've been doing a hell of a job for me. I've been listening. I'm 32. And I've been listening to you, oh, my God, since I was 13. So it really is an honor to talk to you. You still scare the hell out of me, but you really are a good dude, and I know you know your stuff.
Who knows? One of these days when you call up, you might get that badge of honor and be called a dope, but not today.
I appreciate that, man. You have a good day.
All right, thanks for listening, Dan. Listening as a kid. As a kid, he was listening. I have spanned generations. And I'm 46 years old. I don't know how I've done that. It's really amazing that I've spanned those generations because I've got knowledge. I've got insight. I keep it real for real for real for real. And you got to keep it real. If you believe something, you should say it. And if you're wrong, you should admit it. And that's what it comes down to. It's just something you got to do. You got to do. The baseball free agent thing, it'll be interesting in the end. And the agents will lie to you anyway. Why? They've waited this long. The numbers aren't going to change. The numbers will not change. And the Yankees, I still think, are in the mix, depending on what they can do with Machado. They wouldn't be the leader in the clubhouse, but they could put a fly in the ointment. 94 WIP at the Borgata, where you can bet all these games. College basketball today. I'm going to ask Mark Lawrence for a college basketball game today, too. And who he likes this weekend. I do like Kansas City. I'm a little up in the air on the Saints. And now you look at both home teams. Well, I'll talk about it when we come back. You look at both home teams, but somehow one road team's going to win. And I don't think it's going to be the Patriots. I don't know if I'm going to get an analytics lesson. I think I might get an analytics lesson, which is nothing but hogwash when we come back. But whatever the case may be. 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, #9494 on AT&T, #9494 on Verizon. Was the Eagles season successful or not? That's your opinion. WIP Sports Time is now 9:17 and 94 WIP. I'm Howard Eskin. You're the Borgata. All right, let's head back to the phones. And Chuck, how are you this fine day?
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
How are you?
I'm not as good as you, but I'm
I know you're not.
Fine, thank you. Listen, the body of work on your boy Andy Reid. Come on, we watched him for 14 years, and hats off for being a great coach and all that. And his wins and his accomplishments in the NFL, and I think he will end up in the Hall of Fame if he wins a Super Bowl. But the assessment,
I think he might. Well, I'll just say this, Chuck. I think he'll end up in the Hall of Fame even if he doesn't.
Without it, yeah, 50-50. It's one of those arguments.
He's going to have the fifth most wins in the history of the NFL for coaches.
As we say, longevity wins out a lot. But to say that clock management was not one of his, he just was inefficient.
But how do you know that, Chuck? How do you know what happened on the field?
Well, we watch the games. You watch.
Yeah, but how do you know if the players weren't in the right alignment, if Donovan McNabb, who couldn't remember plays and couldn't remember all the terminology, how do you know that it took more time than it should have in the huddle because of the quarter? How do you know that didn't happen?
Well,
you don't.
You don't know.
Right,
you
correct.
Don't know, of course. That's a fair response. It's not hogwash. As a pun there. But the one thing that he hardly ever did, which annoyed me, was when the team was going to score at the end of the first half and you're inside 2 minutes, and he hardly ever, don't say ever, generalization, but he didn't frequently use timeouts to get the ball back, to possess the ball, to go the other way and maybe score. And
Depends on down and distance for the other team. If you're talking about the other team having the ball, depends on the down.
I'm talking about where it's inevitable that they're going to score, get the ball back. And he very rarely did that. And I just think at the end of games, if you look at the Kansas City-New England game a couple of years ago in the playoffs, where they were down 2 touchdowns and they were taking time. Now, I know the pushback on that is you didn't have all his receivers healthy and one guy didn't know the plays. But Howard, this assessment of him and clock management, it's over a long body of work. I'm
and it's
14
it's,
years old.
It's become, it's like the Santa Claus thing at...
No.
It's like the Santa Claus. There was three guys throwing snowballs at Santa Claus, and it became like it was everybody. And it was
right,
such a fallacy. There's people that talked about that. They weren't even there. Weren't even around Philadelphia. Didn't know anything was going on, but it just perpetrated every year. And, hey, listen, coaches make mistakes. I've seen Belichick make mistakes. But I think it's become worse and worse when he's not even been here. I will ask you this question, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
What coach had as much success as Andy Reid?
He's tremendously successful with wins. And I respect it. Hats off. I did say.
Why was Dick Vermeil never criticized, and he never won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because the fans felt more respected from Vermeil, because in Andy Reid's postgame, he was always arrogant, in my opinion. He was always arrogant.
He would never give up anything. And that was his problem, but that had nothing to do with his coaching.
Before I use up all my time, Senator, can we talk about Barkley real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know I love Charles. One night up in Philadelphia, we spent a night drinking. It's just the greatest. He's hilarious. I love Charles. I think he's out of line on his comments. I know you support that.
Why?
But I think Embiid, you know, playing with a sprained back, he's going to have that injury. You know, we applauded Wentz when we were told he played with a broken back or sprained back. We called him a tough guy. So Embiid, you know, being a tough guy, wants to stay in the game. He's going to start tonight, so he couldn't have been too badly injured. He's going to start tonight.
Well, Chuck, here's where you're way out of it.
Okay,
Carson Wentz plays 16 games. They would never play. If Carson Wentz was an injury-prone guy, they wouldn't risk it if he was an injury-prone guy. With Embiid, they've already shown you they haven't played him back-to-back games. They've already shown their history. He is their franchise. And basketball, one player really does make the difference on it. Without Joel Embiid, they're a below .500 team.
That's absolutely a fact. Here's
the okay.
fair question.
So you it's one know. Regular season game out of 82.
Right. Would fair question. Would he be starting tonight if he was so injured against Indiana? Would he be starting tonight?
Well, who's to know that it didn't get better? But who's to know that it could have gotten worse? I'm sure he's gotten.
I want to take whatever he's taking for my next injury.
Yeah, but we don't know. We don't know. But it's precaution in a regular season game. And here's the other thing with today.
Okay.
Here's it. Today is a nationally televised game, and the Sixers won. Unfortunately, remember when they played him, and it was a Friday night in a nationally televised game, and they knew he was hurt. Remember that? And then he came out with an injury. He came out with an injury, and he missed what, a 3 weeks or a month after that? Because it was a nationally televised game.
Would you give him tough guy label? Would you bestow that upon and be tough guy?
Absolutely.
Okay, we agree.
But basketball's different, and he's 7'2", and 7'2" big guys don't have a long career. Why are you risking shortening that career?
All right, well, okay. Listen, I have one last question.
Hey, listen, I'm just trying to school you.
Thank you for that. Who hired Juan Castillo as a defensive coordinator, remember?
Yeah, it was Andy Reid. He made a mistake.
Have a good day. I can't wait
Chuck,
to catch
go back it. Go back into your computer and find out why teams are not offering these numbers that were thrown around. Bryce Harper will not get $300 million.
No, he won't.
And,
you're right.
They're using analytics. They want to praise players with their play. They're using analytics to decide how much they should make.
I told you 2 weeks ago that if you look at Harper's number, a guy who averages, by the way, 129 games a year, that's his average after 7 years. That's all he's going to give you. And when you look at his analytics, I call them stats in this case. Analytics is really the use of statistics. We're saying statistics here. Not as impressive as everybody wants, and this will really send you off, but Bobby Abreu had a better five-year prime than so far Harper's best 5 years, and I can show you that at dinner when we get together.
Okay.
And the Eagles had an exciting season, the Eagles, but I don't think a successful season.
You know what? Go back to the computer, Chuck.
I'm headed back there now. Chad says hello, buddy.
All right, tell him I said hi. This analytics nonsense. Seth, you're on WIP.
Good morning. So I read something the other day, and I've been following kind of loosely the Machado-Harper deal with the Phillies and their pursuit of those guys. And I've always been on the side of wanting Harper just a little bit more, just because I feel like where he fits in the rotation, and it allows him to move some guys around on the infield and maybe deal with some players. But I feel like...
Wait. You wanted Harper, and you say it allows them to move guys around in the infield. Did you mean Machado?
No. I'm sorry. I meant like in the outfield. I think it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a super fan of some of the guys they have out there, and I think Harper could help kind of fix some of those problems. So my point being is, I read this article, and I can't remember who wrote it, but it said that their pursuit of Harper and Machado. They signed one of those guys to a huge contract this year, and I believe they won't get the kind of money they're saying. I believe, like you, it'll probably.
You know what? I've kind of, with what I've been told, I don't think there's anywhere near the $300 million that Scott Boras fed Bob Nightingale.
No, I think it's going to be a shorter year term. Like it'll be bigger money per year, but I think it's going to end up being like $250 million, something like that, $275 million, and it'll probably be.
I think it will not go above $275 million tops.
Yeah,
Tops.
I agree. But the interesting thing to note, and I'm just wondering what you know about this, is how much scraps do they actually have? Because this article went on to say that their plans are to really go after Trout, either the middle.
I've said this on the radio this week, and I don't know if you've listened to me.
I have not. I didn't miss it.
Okay. Here's what more of what I was told. If they sign both Harper and Machado, and they would do that now.
I
don't think they will either. If they would sign both, Trout's out. If they don't sign both, then Trout, I was pretty much told, would be in the mix when he becomes a free agent. But here's an addendum to that. There is a belief that the Angels aren't going to let him get away, and they'll have to offer him something. And there's other particulars. Here's the thing. Mike Trout is one of the nicest people you would ever want to meet. Great guy. But when is the last time you heard Mike Trout in an interview?
And that's what's going to happen. If he comes here to Philadelphia, he's going to be in the limelight.
I don't think he worries about the limelight. I think he worries about having to talk to. He just doesn't. It's not that he doesn't. I don't even know how to explain it. I get the feeling.
I get it.
He's very personable guy. When I see him at the Eagles games, I've always talked to him, and he knows me. His family knows me. And he's been very nice. I've never talked any baseball because that would be unfair to him. He's at a baseball game or a football game, and he wants to enjoy it. But I just don't think, and this all came to light, and I started thinking about it, when the commissioner criticized him, Rob Manfred, for not marketing himself. But he's not that kind of guy. He just wants to play baseball. And in Philadelphia, every television station would whine to the Phillies, well, I want to get a one-on-one. I want to get a one-on-one. And he wouldn't have to do it for one station. He'd have to do it for all the stations. And every day, people would ask to talk to him. And I just think Mike Trout loves playing baseball and doesn't want to be bothered with the other things. And it's not because he's a bad guy. I'm trying to put this in the proper perspective. It's not because he's a bad guy, because he's a great guy. He'll play with kids, he'll do things with kids, but he doesn't want the attention. He just wants to go out and be and he is the best player in baseball. He's not even close.
I totally agree. I just got a quick follow-up having to do with Trout, though, and coming here. Do you think that this year coming up, the way that Gabe manages the team could sway him one way or the other? Aside from having to do the TV interviews, let's say he has a mental fortitude to withstand all of that.
I don't think he would.
Trout plays, but
Trout would play when he wants to play. And all the other things, they're over-analyticized. We'll see. I forget. Who did the Angels name as a manager? Because Socha's out. They have a manager. I forget who that is. But we'll see how that works out for him. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how you doing?
I've never had a bad day in my life. I'm terrific.
I know this. Hey, man, I just wanted to thank you for all the years, man, of being on the radio. And I've had the opportunity to meet you a couple of times. My buddy and I, in fact, their birthdays are coming up. We used to come down to Pizzeria Uno.
Going way back.
But again, man, a lot of friends have come and gone in those years, and you're still here, and it's like family, man.
Well, that's nice of you to say that. I have a question, Howard.
What possibilities do we have of possibly trading Simmons in a blockbuster deal? Because like you said, I agree, he's not going to be here in 3 or 4 years from now.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be here in 3 or 4 years. But eventually, I think he'll end up in Los Angeles. Eventually. Right. But he'll want to sign the best max. It's all about a max contract to him. And he's going to get that regardless. But I don't think they can win a championship with this team with Ben Simmons at point guard. I don't even know if they can get to the finals. And I don't think they can. Because other teams are starting to get better now, too. And the teams that are ramping it up. You can't win with a point guard. Can't win with a point guard who won't shoot. Not only can he shoot, that's one thing, but he won't shoot. So I don't think you can win, because when you get to the playoffs, the defense doesn't let you to go right down the lane and score your points. I mean, his average points are scored from 2 feet away.
Right. Yeah, and they're essentially 4-on-5 late in the game on off event with him.
I told you what I would do, and I don't know if it could happen. I would sign Kemba Walker at the end of the season to be my point guard, and I would trade Ben Simmons. And then, assuming you keep Jimmy Butler, then Walker, Butler, and Embiid are enough to get you, I think, to at least the conference championship and possibly the finals.
Possibly further. Okay. Well, go Sixers and I'm rooting for Big Red tomorrow. So thank you, Howard. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, anybody that doesn't root for Andy Reid is just is taking this thing too far. First of all, it's easy. It should be easy to root for him because you can't stand the cheating Bill Belichick, and they still cheat. Entitled Tom Brady. You know, he's giving you that. Everybody thinks we suck. Great. Yeah, and then ESPN plays it and plays it and plays it and plays it and plays it. Enough already. No, they don't think you suck. They just don't think you're as good. And the Patriots aren't as good. No, it's and they don't win on the road because they've never had to play on the or they rarely have had to play on the road. But we'll hear what Mark Lawrence has to say about the games, what he has to say. I'm going to try to get a college basketball game out of him. I'm not going to try. I'm going to get one out of him. But and the numbers at this point, there's so much statistical information that you look at when you're looking at these games. And it's easy to say the home teams, the home teams, the home teams. I think there's good reason to look at the home teams, but you know one of these road teams is going to win. Usually, both number one seeds don't play in the Super Bowl. Usually, they don't. And if both home teams won, that would be both number one seeds. So we'll see what Mark Lawrence has to say. He'll be coming up. I think we'll have some time after Mark if you want to get an opinion or a call in, either based on what he said or what I have said during the show. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, #9494 on the AT&T service that many of you I know are using, and #9494 on Verizon. WIP Sports Time here at the Borgata is 940. WIP. I'm Howard Eskin. All right. It's a portion of the program where we take a look at the football. There's only a couple of games left. And to do that, Mark Lawrence. Mark, how are you this fine Saturday?
I'm doing terrific, Howard. And I have to say, tip of the hat, kudos to the Eagles on a job well done this football season here. Most teams could have thrown in the towel, raised the flag and gone home and got the golf clubs ready, but they did not. They played right down to the end, and I think they did an admirable job, especially for a defending Super Bowl champion.
You know what? And that's a credit to the coach. They could keep that together after they lost that game to New Orleans, and he could keep it together, and the players respect him. Doug Peterson deserves so much credit. People don't understand how hard it is for a coach to keep a team together like that, and he really did. And they want to play for, obviously for themselves, but they want to play for him too. And I'm going to say, and I'll tell you this, Mark, and I don't know how you felt about it. We have, a very fine gentleman who stops by to listen to you here at the Borgata every week. And he didn't like the Eagles running the play before the 2-minute warning in the Chicago game. And there's a lot of people that didn't like it for the wrong reasons. And I thought he would run it down too. But then when I thought about why he didn't, it all made sense. And I don't know if where you stood on that situation. Number one, and I remember now, the crowd, and I remembered it when I started thinking about it, the crowd wasn't as loud. And that's the loudest place I've ever been in. Oh, my gosh, it was unbelievable. So the crowd's not as loud. So you're taking the crowd out of the game as you're running down the field because they're scared to death the Eagles are going to score. Number two, you don't give New Orleans a chance to regroup and take a breath. And number three, you didn't give them a chance to substitute, which Doug Peterson believed they were going to zero blitz, so you didn't give them a chance to do that. And the play was successful. It's not like you rushed it. And even more so, These are the things that a coach has to think about in a matter of seconds. New Orleans only has one timeout. So Breeze is not going to get the ball back with a lot of time, and he may not get it back with a timeout because somewhere along the way with the play clock going at 40 seconds inside 2 minutes, I don't think he would have gotten it back if the Eagles had scored with more than 20 or 30 seconds left. So after all that, if you understand that, well, not you, but I mean the people, Doug Peterson absolutely did the right thing. So
it sounds like he did, Howard. I wasn't aware of the substitution factor, but everything else you mentioned is checking all the boxes, and he did exactly just that. And it was just an unfortunate circumstance that the way the game ended, but the bottom line is it was well mapped out, well planned out.
Yes, yes, it was. All right, so let's take a look at the games. I'll save the first. The first game should be the last game based on weather, but it's all about television. You know, the weather's going to be nice in Los Angeles and then New Orleans at whatever time. So the game that people hear, they want to whine about Andy Reid, not as much as they should because it's against Belichick. Who do you see and what do you see in that game?
Well, what I see here, if you break these two teams down, you can take a look at New England and how they've come alive of late. They've won three in a row to get here, but they've done that all at home, and it's really, really critical to understand that when a team goes on the road in the playoffs after having been camped at home, they really, really struggle in football games, as New England has done this football season here. If you look at New England and what they allowed in games at home this football season here, they allowed 24 points a night, or I should say less than 18 points a game at home. On the road, 24 points. Flip the script and you look at Kansas City and what they've done this year. Their defense has been bad, second worst in the league. But if you look at their home-road dichotomy, Kansas City's allowing only 17.4 points a game at home. They've been giving up 34.6 points a game on the road.
Wow.
Their scoring defense is twice as good at home as it is on the road for Kansas City here. And I'm not going to be an Andy Reid basher here like most radio shows want to be in the postseason here. He's done a lot of really, really good things here. He's had some unfortunate circumstances. But I do know this. He's dominated the AFC East in his career. He's been a solid money winner against the AFC East, 19-8 against the point spread. I like this home-road dichotomy for the defenses, and I love the fact that New England did all their damage at home this year and nothing on the road. I think the Chiefs win in advance in this football game.
Wow. Now, a look at the total. It's going to be cold, and they scored a lot of points the first time. And if I remember correctly, you have told me in the past, whatever they do the first time, you look at the opposite the next time. So they were over in their first game this year. Would you look at the under this year?
I would certainly look under. They weren't only over, they flew over the total in that first minute. They scored 83 total points in the football game. And, you know, the fact of the matter is at this stage of the football playoffs, the deeper you go, the more the defenses step up and play their games. One of these two teams in both games is going to play a sterling defensive game. Both would have to bust for this game to get over the total here, and I think there's value to go under this big total in the football game.
All right, the other game is in – normally you look at the home teams, but somehow, and we've talked about this, that a road team's going to win. You just got to figure out which one. Do you think the Rams are that team?
I think the Rams could be that team, Howard. You take a look at their MO and what Sean McVay brings to the Rams here. They're 14-3 straight up in games away from the Coliseum, the best road record in the last 2 years in the National Football League. They know how to take care of business on the road. They're also coming in here with some pretty good momentum here. They've won and covered each of their last three football games in a row after having struggled after that huge 8-0 start they got out to. And who blew that start? It was New Orleans who ruined their perfect season back in November in that 45-35 loss. So now you've got a New Orleans football team here. That number one seed in the NFC has done really well in the playoffs. There's no question. But suddenly, this team is in regression here. I mean, you look at their last three football games. They've scored more than 20 points only one time in their last three football games. Their offense is not hitting on all cylinders. You've got Tlaib back in the defensive backfield for the Rams who missed that first football game. That's going to put added pressure on Drew Brees in this contest here. I think the Rams have a good chance to win this football game.
You know, when I look at that, and the conditions obviously aren't a factor in this game, But that stadium is so loud. I'm telling you, I have never been in a louder stadium than that place. And then they get the fans to pump it up. Do you think that is a big factor, or is that just a small factor?
Well, it's a factor. There's no question. That's one of the reasons for the success the Saints have enjoyed, especially in the postseason. But I will say that having been there this season, I think will be beneficial to the Rams. They know what to expect. They're not going to be walking into a battle unknowing, you know, what the environment's all about here. They know what the situation's all about. So I'm sure they've game planned for that. And I say, having been there earlier this year, I think will be beneficial to the Rams in this contest.
All right, another high total in this game. This game is 57 or 58, and they went over the first time they played. So do you look at this, even though it's indoors, look at this as an under because of the way it went the first time?
I think you have to. Again, it's, you know, it's all about value and it's all about a circumstance. And like you say, they went over the total the first game here, and the New Orleans offense just not hitting on all cylinders right now. And if you take a look at what the Rams have done on the road, this is another case of breaking these numbers down. The Rams, what they allow on the road is 18.5 points a game. At home, they allow 27.4 points a game. So they're a touchdown better defensively on the road are the Rams than they are at home. I think this is value again. I think both of these totals, the only way I would look at them would be under the total in both games.
All right, I will ask you, since there's a full slate of college basketball, or if there's somebody in the pros, do you have a game for the people in either college or the pros?
Well, I'm going to give you this in the NBA. Not people are going to like this, but the bottom line here is the Philadelphia 76ers have forgotten how to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's 18 straight times in a row they've lost to the Thunder. Oklahoma City comes in off back-to-back straight-up upset losses in the game. And you've got the Sixers off that big 24-point win against Indiana on the road. They're home for just a one-game road trip here. I think the Oklahoma City Thunder taking points is a gift in the basketball game. I think they make it 19 in a row against the Sixers tonight. I'm going to play Oklahoma City.
Oh, wow. So that's kind of interesting. And I will ask you about one game because sure. It's kind of weird that Virginia is only a 1.5-point underdog to Duke at Duke. I just can't get by that number. And why is it so low? And is the line telling me something?
Well, the line is likely telling you something, but it's there for a reason. The reason being this Virginia defense is just playing smothering lights out, much like they did last year. One of two undefeated teams in college basketball here, but you've got Duke at home off a home loss, and you don't find Krzyzewski losing too many back-to-back home games. And also, Duke beat this team the last time they played. So it's Duke revenge, their home off a home loss, Virginia coming in off a big 22-point win here. Despite the fact the line is low, I would still look at Duke in this game here. Duke has got some injuries. They got a starter out of the lineup, and they got a seventh key man also hurt right now. So the combination of the injuries and the fact that Virginia is playing this smothering defense is what the low line is all about. But I still like Duke in the basketball game.
And because Syracuse upset the number one team, you got to go against Syracuse today too. Right?
Unquestionably, you do. You take a look at also the makeup of the series inside of that. Pitts beat Syracuse 20 of the last 30 times they played, and they play really well against the Orange, so I think this has got let down written all over for Syracuse in the game.
All right, great. We'll still talk next week because there'll be all kinds of prop bets that we'll look at. And if people have questions about Mark Services, 800-321-7777, on the internet at playbook.com, and lots of good statistical information in the App Store at Playbook Cube. So, Mark, you have a great week. Unfortunately, the Eagles aren't playing the Rams this week, but it was still, I think, a successful season.
That it was, Howard. Enjoy the games. Be well, and I'll hook up with you next week.
Thanks. All right, take care. Right. Mark Lawrence, so he likes the Rams, and he likes Kansas City. I like Kansas City. I was kind of torn between the Rams and New Orleans. But I know the people in Philadelphia want to see the Rams win. It will be, I would lean towards the Rams. Since Mark did, I would lean towards the Rams. Because you know one road team's going to win, and it's not going to be New England. New England, you know, the witch was dead when Dallas lost. Ding dong, the witch is dead with Dallas losing. Well, ding dong, the witch will be dead. It's the Wicked Witch of the East, the Wicked Witch of the West, and they will both go down in these playoffs. Let's hope. All right, thanks to Phil Jackson back at the studio. If you missed portions of the show today or the show, I will put it up on my Twitter, and it's on Facebook, too. I move it over to Facebook as well, Twitter, at Howard Eskin. I will put the podcast of the show and Mark Lawrence, and we'll do that. And Dave Breitmeyer, again, screwing things up here at the Borgata. Dave tries to keep it together here. So I just, you know, he's good for this show because he doesn't have to do the Friday show. So it makes him better for this show. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Next time I talk to you, I guess it'll be Tuesday morning. By the way, have a nice holiday. It's, what is it, Martin Luther King birthday on Monday? So even though it's cold, I didn't give you the weather forecast. Philadelphia's going to be fine. Be a little bit of snow, mostly rain tomorrow. It will get cold on Monday, but don't worry about it. It's going to be warm tomorrow. It's going to rain. The snow, even though they scare the living daylights out of you here in Philadelphia and South Jersey, even Cape May's only going to get maybe 3 to 5 inches. So just relax. Take it easy. But when it gets cold later today, you got to be careful on the road. So be safe. Everybody have a great weekend. Glenn and Ray are next. Glenn and Ray are next here on WIP. And again, have a terrific weekend. WIP Sports Time is 9:58. And Philadelphians are passionate about two things, sports and tasty cake. So when Philadelphia asked to bring back the classic baked pie recipe, Tasty Cake then delivered. They always deliver. They're all about making happy happen. So whether you're a Tasty Claire pie fan, and I know many of you are, or love their fruit pies, and I know many of you are, as well as their other great products. Now, the fruit pies have 15% more fruit than their previous fruit pie recipes. Stock up on the delicious snacks that taste just how you remember. Grab some Tasty Cake baked pies and make happy happen today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.